So we're living in this nutrient deprived world of food. We have the bloody convenience of it. So we're getting food at our fingertips, but the food itself is less nutrients. So the argument of said superfoods is like, listen, I would rather steer ourselves for the missing nutrients from our food for every bite you take. For every calorie you take in, you're getting a plethora, a concentration of micro, macro nutrients, antioxidants, phytonutrients, compounds we don't even know of. You're getting more of that per bite, per calorie, than, say, a bite of something else. So that apple you're eating, for every bite you're taking, the contribution that is giving to you, there's upwards to 300 compounds in an apple. And so that whole idea of an apple a day keeps a doctor away is really that, from my point of view, the origin of food is medicine, right? So health comes down to two major choices. You're either choosing something for health or you're choosing something for your own destruction.
This is Conversations with Changemakers with me, your host, Gary Tirola. Every week, I bring you an inspiring leader that is rethinking what it means to be a changemaker. During these conversations, I slowly peel back the layers of the minds of our future leaders that are using their skills to positively impact this world. Hey, what is happening, listeners? Welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Changemakers. This week is Power. I am inviting the founder and visionary of Superlife. He's the first ever health and wellness expert to be coined a superfood hunter, or as many people call him, the Indiana Jones of superfoods. Darren Olien, welcome. Thank you for joining.
Hey, man. Great to be here. Look forward to the conversation.
I am way more excited than you. I cannot wait to go deep on plant foods, herbs, and all types of exotic superfoods that you've been hunting. So to just go a little bit deeper of who you are known uniquely within the health and wellness community as an exotic superfood expert, supplements formulator, and environmental activist. You travel the planet, hunting, as they say, for new superfoods. What is a job as a superfood hunter?
It's a great question, and it's the best way of hunting, by the way.
Yeah.
the term stuck after, I think, an article that Businessweek did, I don't know, 10 years ago, and this guy just came up with that name, and it stuck, and it's an easy way to describe what I do, and I really came about it through the frustration of finding, you know, quality supplements and things like that. So, the life was really looking at superfoods and herbs and botanicals, and then seeing the poor quality, or the companies could not validate or quantify or show their quality control or quality assurance, or really verify who was growing their food or their supplements or their superfoods, how they were doing it. So me being kind of a blue collar guy from Minnesota, growing up around an agricultural community, having a father that was an ag professor at the University of Minnesota, I really just thought it was my next step was to go to the places of origin to understand the other pillar of this whole superfood side is, like, of course you want the highest quality foods. Of course you want the medicinal qualities and the active compounds. Of course you want that. But there was no way of really, or very few companies were doing it in a way that was transparent, that I could understand was putting quality first. So So by showing up in those origins and understanding the culture, quickly realizing the ethnobotanical side of things, when you have a culture that has used botanicals for a long time, the importance of that, not only in the culture, the importance of that within their own healthcare systems throughout millennia, then it was backing that into the quality within and for the first world situations, right? So yeah. How do I then work with those people and work with that culture to then update them and upgrade them from a bamboo hut into a facility that can be audited and quality controlled and processed correctly to support the botanical having the powerful components in it, so that it can translate into a product, into a bag, into a bottle, into a capsule, into a food that you want, that everyone's saying from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
But, you know, from an ethical, moral side of it, I was like, I gotta make sure that these plants are honored in what they are and what they can deliver. But I also need to do that from a human to human perspective.
Yeah.
So how are we trading with these people? Right.
Yeah.
Cause if we're not trading fairly with foragers and growers and farmers, and also manufacturers in countries of origin, if we're not doing that fairly, then the whole system's going to blow and they're not going to want to do that job.
Yeah.
For a long periods of time. So anyway, that's a big answer to your question. But that's the more I did it, the more I realized how important it is to do it. And that is to do what? To show up in those countries, to spend a ridiculous amount of time in inconvenient places, to travel sometimes 30 hours and then in a bumpy car ride for 9 hours to then see an operation or just see a cacao farmer or be in the middle of the Amazon and see where the camu is coming from. And then following that line of processing, you know, to be in the middle of India to see the ashwagandha processed and dried, you know, it's exotic to think of the superfood hunter, but it's gnarly and not easy but worth it.
Yeah.
Every time.
No, 100%. I think one of the most important attributes to everything is the connection with food. And I think a lot of people have lost that connection with food, essentially. And there's a lot of power within that, just from a spiritual, emotional sense. And I suppose this is what sets you apart from so many people, so many other people out there, because you are getting your hands dirty and you are getting out there and you are finding the best sources and not just being a middleman with a brand, which we get so much nowadays. But to start at the beginning for some beginners that might be listening, what would you, how would you describe a superfood or a super herb?
You know, that, you know, and it is an kind of amorphous definition, but it really comes down to, for every bite you take, for every calorie you take in, you're getting a plethora, a concentration, of micro, macro nutrients, antioxidants, phytonutrients, compounds we don't even know of. You're getting more of that per bite, per calorie than say a bite of something else. So, you know, a severe example of that is go down to your donut shop you take a bite of a donut, and then go to the other, you know, plant-based or whatever shop and take a bite, or go to the grocery store. Let's not even use a severe example. Let's say take a bite of an apple.
Yeah.
So even that alone, compared to the bite of that donut, not only the donut itself has carcinogenic and disruptive compounds in there just by way of being a donut and being fried and trans fats and sugars and all of that stuff. So not even mentioning the unwanted carcinogenic compounds in the donut, but let's just look at, for simplicity, let's look at the nutrient giving compounds that is in the donut, which is very little, but more detrimental than actually contributive. But then you look at, like, let's look at a crab apple. A crab apple is the closest relative to the origin of a real apple, coming from Kazakhstan, which no people don't really understand that the apple actually came from Kazakhstan.
Oh, wow. First time.
So let's say, yeah. So that apple you're eating, for every bite you're taking, the contribution that is given to you, there's upwards to 300 compounds in an apple. And so that whole idea of an apple a day keeps a doctor away is really that, from my point of view, the origin of food is medicine, right? So it's really that, for people listening, you know, I know that we're addicted to food. I know that we're addicted. And so I'm not making that, not making light of it like that's easy, because it's not, when you're addicted to sugars, salts, and fats. And it takes a little time to kind of re-educate your body to then crave the good stuff. But if you look at every choice of, am I going to eat this donut or I'm going to eat this super apple? The contribution that you're taking, almost the prayer that you're making in every moment of every bite, is, what are you saying in that bite? What are you saying consciously to yourself? What is the action that you're taking? And that is, for me, you're taking a super action towards your health, or you're taking a destructional kind of choice with the apple. So health comes down to two major choices. You're either choosing something for health, or you're choosing something for your own destruction.
Yeah.
And that may sound severe, but when you add those things up over time, then you really can cause some disruption. So which I love these conversations, it turns me into these long answers, but the bottom line is, you could compare many things to said superfoods, but, you know, for me, the superfood hunting side is really finding the greatest contributive plants, botanicals, and superfoods and superfruits on the planet that makes sense to bring to the world, so that people can reap the benefits of these highly packed foods that have more contribution to them than a regular food. Like, if you chew on a turmeric root as opposed to eating a regular potato, that turmeric root, every week there's something more coming out about the curcumins and the active compounds and the polyphenols and the immune boosting benefits and the brain derived essentially neurotropic benefits. There's more and more studies. So these superfoods and these herbs and these plants and these botanicals and tubers, it's really about choosing those things so that you can, I mean, here's the distillation for me is, I'm not the greatest herbal expert, because there's a million, I've been on the road with people that know way more than me, and they've spent the PhDs and that's the beautiful thing about my career, is like, there's no way I can learn it all.
Yeah.
But let me distill it down. Why I'm so motivated, why I have been so motivated by doing this is because I know that I can dedicate my life to finding the best, to learning, and then contributing to getting that food out to people. Why I want to do that is so that people will suffer less and kick ass more in their life, so they can live their purpose, so they don't have to live in the accordance of their inability for their body to function properly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
I suppose. I mean, I'm well versed into your different superfoods. I mean, I've actually just got my spirulina box in front of me here. But so a lot of the superfoods, should I say, that people are aware of are perhaps lower in calories. So here's more. I've got two specific questions around that. So yes, it's nutrient dense and it packs a punch and it's probably high protein. It's got antioxidants, etc. But as a bigger guy, or as just any human that is, say, training or moving a lot, like you advocate, are you advocating superfoods within like a normal like plant-based diet, or are you advocating like more of like a look at like 90 to 100% of your diet coming from superfoods, whether it's tubulars or herbs and spirulina, etc.?
It's more of like, listen, I think that, you know, listen, yeah, I've been plant-based for 13 years. So, you know, I make the argument that obviously plants contribute, from my point of view, essentially a lot more nutrient gifting than the you know, meat-based dairy and all of that stuff. So I would say this, that eat your plants from a general perspective, eat a wide variety of plants. But the argument of incorporating as many superfoods as possible is for many modern day reasons. And that is, from an adaptogenic point of view, let's call out some of the adaptogens. Let's call out some of the ashwagandha, the astragalus, the schizandras, the macas. Let's call out some of these plants. Why are they important as a quote-unquote superfood, super herb? And that is because of our stress. Our modern-day stress is infinitely greater than being chased by a saber-toothed tiger every so often. We are living in this modern day stressed world. So part of why I've formulated with adaptogens, why I've literally been on mountaintops, you know, digging up rhodiola in the sovereign mountains of Tibet, is because, and in panda protected areas, finding schizandra, the reason these things are so important and the gift that they need to be more in people's lives is because of this chronic stress that we're in. So the adaptive qualities that exist and the ability for those herbs, the miracle and magic that these herbs that are under stress, that have adapted and created thousands of compounds to help them thrive in the environment that we can take in, that have been used for sometimes tens of thousands of years, like schizandra by traditional Chinese medicine and beyond, that when we take those in, those adapted genetic qualities that they've incurred by surviving in challenging situations, that we can benefit by the receptors in our body, by the curbing of the detriments of our sympathetic nervous system to calm us down, to help our bodies deal with that chronic stress. So that's from an argument of the stress of it. The other side of the superfoods coming from, you know, corners of the world is because our micronutrients are just stripped. So the normal person, even trying to eat well, we've known literally since the 1900s and the 1930s, they did tests here in the United States in the 1930s where they did plant study tests and soil tests. And they knew at that point, and this was in the early 1900s, that we were well over 90% of the nutrients were devoid that were once there. So we have set ourselves up to this very destructive monocropping culture where we've stripped those, which is, you know, that huge argument, it's a rabbit hole of regenerative agriculture again, to get us back into regenerating that precious microbiological systems of the soil and the plants and the chelations of the minerals from the rocks and things like that, so that our plants can thrive again. So we're living in this nutrient deprived world of food. We have the bloody convenience of it.
Yeah.
So we're getting food at our fingertips, but the food itself is less nutrients. So the argument of said superfoods is like, listen, I would rather, if I'm low in B12, if I'm low in vitamin C, well, the B12 I can get from, there's tests on certain water lentils that are showing up with natural B12. There's spirulina that's showing up with testing B12. So my point is that we can steer ourselves for the missing nutrients from our food. Mm. And if I'm needing vitamin C, well, don't go for ascorbic acidified, you know, vitamin C that's very cheap to make. Reach for the camu berry and reach for those fruits and those things that have high vitamin C's and include them into your diet. So the idea here is that we are being stressed. And when we're under stress from a chronic perspective, we actually require more nutrients under that stress, but yet we're getting less because of our systems that are failing. So that's why on some level, we need to get our nutrients, and why I've, you know, went to the corners of the world going, listen, what are the foods that we require now so that we can incorporate them in our life to give us the micro nutrients that we're not getting from our normal kind of eating patterns in this modern day. It's a modern fatal convenience. Right? So we have a lot of convenient food, but we have a lot of food that's devoid of things that we actually require.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've all always become GMO humans, and we're eating way more calories, less nutrients. And people are confused. There's so much noise out there. People don't know what to do. And so people's budgets aren't that big, because of course these superfoods, like yourself, I mean, just the logistics of getting that superfood from a far corner of the world and packaging it in a sustainable packaging and getting it to the supermarket, it's an expensive process. So I know a lot of people sometimes can't afford the whole array, you know, like I'm sure your pantry must be on another level, or your garden, should I say. So what are the, I would say, what are the five superfoods, or what the handful or whatever superfoods that you suggest are integral for people to reach out for?
It's a great question. I mean, it's a moving, depending on the person, that can be a moving around based on an individual's own needs. But, you know, you brought up, you showed one of them. Spirulina is an incredible plant. Now you can also make the argument, I've seen spirulina plants around the world. I've seen it in Africa. I've seen it in India. I've seen it here in California. I've seen spirulina producing plants around the world, and that's a freshwater, cultivating situation. Now, the problem is with that is typically you need a kill step to make sure that the unwanted bacteria doesn't contaminate your product. And without that kill step, you can't really sell it.
Mm.
So there's potentially heat that has to be for a period of time in order to kill unwanted bacteria, but then that also can affect the product itself. So you have an interesting balance between how do you get the nutrients of like a spirulina to be efficacious and whatnot. So, but there's also food grade spirulina. There's a company called SP2 that has a spirulina that's 100% food, not even a supplement. It's frozen upon cultivation. And now that's showing the nutrients are off the chart. So, oh, wow. Okay. So I don't know if you can get them in the States, but I think you can, or out of the country, but there's a couple companies starting to come up around food grade spirulina. So like each answer is kind of pleomorphic in my, answer, because if they qualify, but then another big one is Moringa aloe vera, which is the contributive, you know, in Africa, they call it the medicine tree or the vitamin tree, or they call it never die. Because you eat it and you'll never die. It's a very strong tree with these leaves, these very potent leaves with tons of antioxidants, huge amounts of calcium, vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin E, micronutrients, huge amount of protein. So Moringa, finding really good sources, a little tricky too. But one method to look at that is start comparing the color of Moringa, the vibrant green color. If you get like a dead yellow brownish color, that means number one, there's too many stems in it. And they also didn't harvest it or dry it or clean it right away from harvest time. So it's spirulina, Moringa. And then I would shift over also to, I mean, Camu's fantastic. One of my loves, deep from the Amazon. I've worked on frozen Camu. It's not been on the market, but dried Camu can be a great vitamin C source, and that can fight viruses, bacteria, all of that other stuff. And then, of course, I would shift to adaptogenic, not only medicinal herbs, but also medicinal mushrooms. So, you know, my dog's name's Chaga. So yeah, you're going to get that next answer. So Chaga mushrooms, the king of mushrooms, super high immune boosting, good for the immune system, obviously, and antioxidants and tons of other contributive factors used by the Ming Dynasty, the Vikings, you name it, a lot of cultures, the Russian culture. So, but then I would also, you know, you've got Reishi, you've got lion's mane, you've got all these other things. So medicinal mushrooms, try to get a medicinal mushroom into your life on a consistent basis. Turmeric. I mean, it's hard not to choose turmeric, because of the neurodegenerative aspect. Because again, I look at herbs as their contribution to what's going on in society. And we have a lot of dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that. So if we can get brain-derived neurotropic factors, neurogenesis to go on and simply help inflammation, which is a massive, massive topic and issue in our modern-day world because of our poor choices and stress, then turmeric on a straight turmeric, and also you can add curcumin in, and I would add both.
Are you talking like straight fresh turmeric roots, or like a turmeric powder, or what's the best, the root?
Yeah. I would say of course, the caveat is if you can grow your own, then grow your own and juice it and all that. It's same with getting your food. If you can grow your own food, I mean, that's, I'm just want to state the obvious, then that's where you want to go. But yeah, if you can get organic powder, then great. You can make a paste. You can add, black pepper, which helps the uptake, by about 2,000%, the absorbability, even a little, coconut oil will help the absorbability of that. So you can make your own paste, you can make your own tea, you can make your own stuff. And listen, I think, you know, just to throw the obvious one out here, that's not the exotic, because that's, you know, try to eat 80 to 100% cacao on a consistent basis. Great for the brain, You know, once you get used to the bitters, then it can be fantastic for you. But there's, you know, listen, there's a, if you ask me tomorrow, I'll probably come up with another whole different ones. But
yeah. No, we absolutely love superfood. So my fiance, Claire, she's a vegan chef. And we actually travel the world opening up healing plant-based cafes as well. And she includes, we've got these awesome smoothie bowls with like millions. It's all the superfoods you've listed and we have them daily. Nice. But it's so great to see someone so like pumped up about this because it just makes me realize I'm on the right path. So you mentioned organic. I wanted to ask you, how important is it to get, whether it's organic veg, fruits, superfoods, etc., like is this a story? Is this a myth? Or is this what we need to be aiming at?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think organic certification is built with the idea that we need an organizing body to try to qualify and quantify quality. That's the basis of it. And also, it flies in the face of our unsustainable growing methods. So our unsustainable monocropping, our use of glyphosates and GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, larvicides, all of that stuff. And since we know the modern day elephant in the room is we know that that's probably not a good idea. So the advent of organic sprouted up, pun intended, to create an organizing body that would then say, listen, there's a choice. You don't have to consume this other stuff that may or may not be very destructive to you. Of course, they're never going to admit that, but of course, that is the case. By taking in pesticides and neurotoxins and genetically modified and glyphosate, I mean, that's a whole nother tangent. So on the one hand, it's very good to always try to strive for organic, biodynamic, local food. Mm. However, and in addition to, if you know the source, if that source has tested for you, I've been in several situations, giving you a scenario where the burden of organic on a farmer in the middle of Indonesia that is doing everything according to their natural methods, that is not using pesticides and herbicides or anything of the sort. If you say you need to go organic, largely a burden will be placed on them. An expense would be placed on them. Mm. It would be very difficult for them to do it. And there would be no change other than paperwork in the method to which they're already growing or foraging or collecting, or in this case, farming. So in some cases, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
But you need to have a company or an organization, better to have the company that is doing the buying, that they have quality controls set up. So the part of the quality control is there's no pesticides, there's no herbicides, there's no genetically modified organisms, there's no larvicides, there's none of those things. And then you test them too. So you have, as companies, which I think we all as companies and people selling the responsibilities, you need to take that on as companies. You need to do that yourself way beyond organic, because the slippery slope is some organics allow for a certain level of pesticides and herbicides and larvicides. Part of that reason is it's hard to get away from it. It can blow in the wind over to your farm and you can get hell. They did a study 2 or 3 years ago. All organic wines in California has got pesticides and herbicides and glyphosate in it because it's just contaminated.
Oh, wow.
Because glyphosate is water soluble and can blow in the air and get in the water table. So even though they're not using it, it's infiltrated. And that's a scary, scary thing. And that's going on all over the place. So if you're a company that can't afford to have someone on the boots on the ground validating and verifying your superfood, then I think you under-budgeted yourself and you need to take that on eventually, hopefully sooner than later. But the organization of organic certification is better than nothing, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So if you don't know that company and that company can't transparently show you, or at least in some ways, they can't show you everything, because I've worked with big companies and there's a liability that they can't always show you their books or their stuff. But if you can have some sort of verifying system that this company is transparent and vertically integrated and setting their quality control, that's great. And it doesn't need to be organic certified. It can be beyond that, which is of several things that we have going on, especially with our barucas, our nuts that we found out of Brazil. Like, it's a wild food. There's no way to certify, you know, the landmass. It's about half to two thirds of the United States that we forage these nuts.
Yeah,
from.
I saw those nuts.
There's no way to certify it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So when you go to the supermarket, hold on, I actually got to ask you this first. Do you grow all the food you consume? Do you grow on your own property?
I will be. I mean, I'm still recovering from the fire that for the fire that wiped everything out. So we're still. Where's the house going to go? I have two in the plans. I have two greenhouses off the sides of the house, and then we'll be growing. You know, fruit trees and everything around. So we're just going through that process, but I haven't fully lit it up, but I can forage wild foods on the property. So there's a bunch of foods, that I can incorporate. So eventually, but I also, my old house that I had very little land, but I created growing boxes and the soil we composted. And it was very rich, so you could really pack a couple boxes full of lettuces and tubers and all kinds of things. So I did eat most of my salad from just two boxes that I had at my old house.
So when you go to the supermarkets, if you do, ad hoc times, if you're traveling, because you travel a lot and all that, are you super strict? Like, will you be like, if it's not organic, you're not touching it, you're only going for local food, plant foods, fruits, etc.?
100%. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you ever eat out at restaurants?
I do, if I know, like, obviously in California there's a lot of great organic, plant-based, vegan restaurants, but I don't strive to.
Yeah,
I would rather control that. I mean, like, I was watching American football playoffs last week, and I ate, and I had an amazing salad. I had them kind of modify their menu, and had, you know, sweet potatoes and all of this stuff, and I ate it, and I just got back, and I completely threw my gut off, and it was like, some weird ingredient was in there and just destroyed me that night.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, very uncomfortable. And like, so I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, once you've tuned in your engine, I just want the best going in,
because
it makes me feel the best. So, but yeah, when I'm on the road, you do the best you can.
Yeah.
You do the best you can. You ask questions. You be that annoying, you know, I'm that annoying American from California that's asking everything. But it's my freaking mouth that is going in. And it's like, don't feel like you're an inconvenience. Like, this is an important thing that we're doing, is eating. Because like I said earlier, that's like your affirmation of, you know, you're going to feel something from what you've eaten. So I want to feel good.
Yeah, of course. That's so funny, because we actually hear, like I said to you earlier, with my whole family in a hotel away on holiday, and myself and my fiance are like, I mean, we're scrupulous, and obviously we have to eat at the hotel restaurants all the time for birthdays and that. And the questions we have to ask the waiters, and they like go off and they come back, and they go off and they come back, and we like get them to buy new stuff and they come back, and it's like it still doesn't just feel as good as your own stuff, but you always get like frowned upon by others, you know, like, oh, that's so inconvenient, like don't make it uneasy. It's just like, man, this is my body, this is my life. So
yeah,
I'm glad I'm not the only
one. And it actually, it's more of now, and I agree, it's more of, it's not really an inconvenience anymore, it's for other people, it's their shit. But you know, for me, it's a habit. Yeah. It's a habit that it's ingrained. It's like, you know, it's something that I don't spend a lot of time worrying about it. You know what I mean? And that's what people don't understand. They look at it because they're way over here eating whatever, and they see you and they see the distance that they feel that is in their life, and therefore making up a story about it, like, oh my God, that's so strict and all that. But as you and I know, not at all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not walking around like rigid. I'm walking around with freedom of like eating the greatest foods ever.
Yeah.
And getting to live and thrive from the choices that I've made. But it's now the program.
Yeah.
It's just the way I live. So as everyone knows, once you've developed a habit, the habit is, it's like, are you complaining that it's an inconvenience to brush your teeth every night? No.
Yeah.
You just do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I love that. So what is your dietary belief system outside of superfoods? Basically meaning like you're, from what I gather, you're a vegan, you're a plant-based, I'm going to call you even a plant-based athlete because you are as strong as anyone else on it. So beyond just plant-based, do you believe in like mostly raw, or do you believe in mostly salads or mostly fruit? Like, what is your kind of ideal protocol?
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely believe that there's certain foods that can be cooked to extract and allow for other nutrients to occur. So there is some opportunity there depending on the foods. But that being said, like, you know, 98% of the time I'm having a massive salad with tons of vegetables and you know, different nuts and my Barooka nuts, of course, but and then, you know, I'll have my smoothies and or smoothie bowls and stuff like that. But you know, I'm reaching for those biodynamic salads and organic salads, and I also strive when I go through the grocery store to go, hey, I've had a bell pepper every day this week, why don't you try, number one, a different color of a bell pepper, or a different fruit altogether, or add. So I'm always like, okay, if I was foraging, I'm not always gonna find the red bell pepper. I'm gonna find I'm gonna find some mushrooms over here. So I kind of go into that world of just always diversification.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like the idea of getting micronutrients from a lot of different places. But it's fairly simple. Yeah. And then also, raw, I eat a lot. Mm. And then I also really enjoy, I mean, I was in Brazil last time with our company. I mean, rice and beans and salad.
Yeah.
Was damn near every day. And stay away from all their meat crap and rice and beans and salad and rice and beans and salad. And I can eat that till I'm like, you know, I find those safety places on traveling. But I'm not afraid of carbs. I sometimes eat a bowl of fruit, just massive, like 5 dates, 3 bananas, you know, acai. You know, blueberries, you know, apples, like, you know, and that's just like, and people would look at that going like, holy shit, that's so much sugar. That's all like, I don't, I don't believe in that. I don't. I think if you, unless you have a condition, unless you already have, your body's already suffering from something, then it's appropriate to move around those macronutrients to combat that. Which, but for me, like as being an athlete and being very active every day, I don't focus on protein. I just eat more. So if I'm having that salad and if I'm training a lot, I'll just eat more of that because I'm just getting all of the micronutrients. I'm getting more of the protein and it kind of all balances out.
Yeah. I always like to say what we forget as a society, we've become this reductionist society where we always want to focus on one macro, one emotion, whatever it is, one friendship. And it's like, we forget about the synchronicity of like, all the macros and micros working together, and even the water within the foods and the fiber. And it's just like this holistic way of being, which we've just lost. We've like destroyed in the last 100 years. I feel like we're clawing back there slowly, thankfully for because of people like you, but I suppose it's up to us to keep educating and keep learning ourselves in a way. And 100%. I see that you're also doing that now with your superfood conservancy. You are trying to save the planet. This planet has been absolutely obliterated by monocrops and just humans in general. Away from the superfoods, what are you doing to put back into this planet, and how are you trying to reverse damage?
God, that's a great question. Several things I'm gotten involved with this year is a lot of, it's funny, upon running out in the planet and showing up and constantly being a figure that cares about the foods and stuff, you start resonating and running into people in their said areas that believe the same thing. So I've met and become friends with a lot of incredible environmentalists and tech people that are doing clean energy stuff, everything from Tesla kind of technology and certain free energy devices. So I'm working with some companies that are actually doing a lot of stuff with New Zealand now to get New Zealand off the grid. And that's a huge statement.
Yeah.
But one of my friends, you couldn't even Google search him. He's silently, powerfully working with some of the top scientists in the world in this space. And he's dedicated to changing this planet and creating alternative fuel sources of, fossil fuels.
Mm.
So I'm aligning and trying to support him in that mission. I'm doing some filming around that actually had him, I'm gearing up on a podcast right now. So I've had him on, and we'll release some of that information. And also, obviously with our Barukas, our nut, our company is dedicated to every 5 pounds that we sell of these nuts, we plant a Baru Zeta tree in the wild in Brazil. And the Baru Zeta tree is a nitrogen fixer and kind of a grandfather of the savanna of Brazil, and happens to give these nuts as well, the Barukas. But we just seeing the devastation up close and personal, crying when you're seeing the destruction of the Amazon, of the savanna. That we, part of our business model was from day one, like, we are going to plant trees in the wild. We are going to at least do something to combat these things. And I think every company should take that on as a responsibility, because I'm not a fan of waiting around for the government or the leaders of our countries to do something. It's just not, it's not the way I'm going to approach those things. I've also been looking at alternative waste to fuel projects. Spent the last 9 months researching waste plastic into clean fuel. So that's a very exciting opportunity. So so I'm really now stepping into, I've seen a lot, and now let's try to organize and come together and support not only some of the people that I know, some of the projects that I'm finding, and we have to together move this needle. Activism, I think, is, of course, there's people sharing the message, which is great, but I think getting to action is just absolutely, utterly necessary right now. And us as companies, I think we have to create those opportunities to help the planet as best that we can.
Yeah, of course. I love that. And thank you for all the work you're putting back into this planet and people's health and wellness. It's just beautiful. Listeners, for those of you that don't know, Darren's also written a book called Super Life, The 5 Simple Fixes That'll Make You Healthy, Fit, and Internally Awesome. Perhaps we could, if you could summarize, or you could just give the titles of these 5 simple fixes that is going to make me eternally awesome.
Yeah, well, you're doing a lot of them, so this is great for you. I mean, obviously, one is nutrition. We dig into nutrition, the nutritional needs. One is alkalinization, the kind of the acid alkaline balance of the body and how those major systems are important. We touch on the microbiological system, the protein myth. We touch on oxygenation, how important that is to not only from the breath, but also from they intimately connect with the acid alkaline. So the body's ability to receive more oxygen as it relates to the state that your body's in. Movement, we touch on, we slide in there, the point of view. Has a huge difference on your outlook and on your being in creation, being on purpose is biologically extremely important for your overall health. So yeah, there's several topics that we jump into, and of course a huge one that I've talked a lot about is water. Hydration.
Yeah.
It is not just drinking water. Water is a celestial entity that is receiving and giving information. So we need to think about water completely differently. So there's a chemical side of water. There's a biological side of water, but there's also a quantum physics side of water that I've spent a lot of time with some of the top scientists in the world. Who study water as a career. Dr. Gerald Pollack has got a great book called the fourth phase of water. So yeah, those are some of the topics. We got some, plant-based recipes and stuff in there and some kind of to-dos that make it easy for people to kind of follow along.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. I urge everyone to go get that book on, I'm guessing it's on Kindle as well as bookstores. On Amazon?
Yeah, everywhere. Amazon, Kindle, all the places.
I think we'd need to do a whole podcast just on alkalinity, acidity, and water, because those two subjects are massive right now.
Massive.
Okay, so I finish every podcast with five questions. They're fire questions. Just before I get to them, I ask the same questions to everyone, but just before I get to them, I have got some listeners that have wanted to ask some questions. I have got a guy, his name's Chris. He's a 20-year-old with 2 hip arthroscopy surgeries. He says, what foods or supplements that promote healthy joints and combat arthritis and inflammation?
Yeah, good question. MSM is a type of sulfur that is the cornerstone of connective tissue building. There's a type of sulfur that's done through water extraction. And the brand that is clinically substantiated is called Opti, OPTI MSM. So make sure you're finding, there's many brands that have that trademark. So make sure you find that one, because that's the clinically substantiated one. Obviously, huge amounts of overall turmeric, but also I would take higher dosages of curcumin in addition to, because curcumin's that active component to the directed at inflammation. And then water is a very big one. And then, you know, going back to the alkalinization, learn about alkalinization.
Yeah.
If you have constant acidity and not eating well, then the body tends to move toxins away from organs and dumps them into joints. For whatever reason, that's some of the dumping grounds when the body, that's some of the dumping grounds for when the body loses some of its detoxification and backup system.
Amazing. So five questions. I'm going to shoot them off to you. You just give me your one sentence answer, please. So number one, what do you think the soul is?
What do I think what is?
What do you think the soul is?
Oh, the soul. It's a, it's the beautiful, mysterious energy that embodies within our body that helps to move a spirit along and gets to experience itself on this planet.
Two, what is your definition of God?
You're going for it. My definition of God is the unified field, the light of the universe, the love that permeates it all, and the governing system, the great mystery of everything.
That's awesome. Three, complete the sentence. The world needs
more love, compassion, and connection to relationship.
Amazing. Four, what is the purpose of the human experience?
To see, recognize, and reveal more of itself to itself.
Okay, and for the last one, how important is human connection and why?
It is utterly one of the greatest things to experience on the planet and in our lives. Because without the connection, it's like cancer of the person. It's like when cells aren't feel connected, that's how cancer starts. So separation causes the biggest destruction on this planet.
Wow. Darren, I've absolutely loved our conversation today. It's been, it's not many people I chat to over a video call that can pump me up as much as you. I mean, I think you, between listening to you and how passionate you are, it makes me want to be a healthier version of myself. And that's saying a lot. So thank you for everything you're doing in this world. And where can people reach out to you?
Yeah, so I'm have a new website coming out, darrenoline.com. So far, it's Super Life Living on social media.
Yeah.
Barukas, you can find our nuts, Barukas, barukas.com. But yeah, I'm around.
Cool, guys. I'll have that all in the show notes, so you don't have to write that down. But Darren, I'm looking forward to a follow-up session. Actually, we're going to have to chat about a lot more and go deeper for our listeners. But thanks so much. And listeners, I'll see you next week. It means so much to myself and my change-making friends that you decided to spend some of your valuable time with us. It would mean even more if you could share their inspiring message to your loved ones. As someone once told me, the only thing more powerful than changing the world every day for the good is doing it with a community. Guys, I love you and I cannot wait to welcome you back next week. Remember to reach out to me directly at hello@garytirola.com if you have any questions, or hit me up on social media, Gary_Tirola, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm here for you. So let's do this together.